This is Conversations That Count. I'm Brent Cunningham. Today I'll be speaking with Pastor Rob Coles, our executive pastor here at Timberline Church, and we'll be talking about how we deal with those times in our lives when we feel disappointed by God. I hope you'll join us for this conversation and be as challenged as we are. Rob, what do you think is the main reason why people become disappointed with God?
You know, I think disappointment, whether it's with God or with people in any relationship, is often tied to expectations and missed expectations. When someone misses your expectation, the result is disappointment, usually first, and then all sorts of emotions after that, frustration, anger. But it usually has, I know, like even with you go to a restaurant that, you know, you have great expectations for the meal, and you know, the waitress comes out with her fingers in your glass cups. You know, your expectations are missed, and so there's disappointment. So I think we have certain expectations of God that He doesn't always meet. It doesn't mean that He fails. It just means that maybe we had faulty expectations, and some of it I think is even cultural, because we're taught in our culture that if you do the right thing, then you are rewarded for doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, and there are those who try to kind of even bring that into the Christian message or the gospel, that, you know, if you just do the right thing, you'll never get sick. If you just do the right thing, God will always work everything out the way you want it to be worked out. And then when He doesn't, He missed our expectations. And then we're left with all these emotions of confusion, disappointment, or whatever.
But, I mean, doesn't the Bible almost, like, I can see why we think that. I'm just thinking of Proverbs chapter 13 here. Let me read a verse in there. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Mm-hmm. And we could think of 100 examples, right?
Yeah.
In the book of Proverbs, it talks about you live right, what happens? Yeah. God rewards you. I was listening to the proverb of the day, you know, today, in fact, Proverbs 14, it talked about God loving the righteous, but His, you know, His hand being against the wicked.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that set up an expectation, though, of God's hand seems to be against me? Why? Because, you know, I've raised my kids to love God, and my middle child is just walking away.
Yeah.
My health isn't that great. Our finances stink.
Yeah.
God's hand seems to be against me.
Yeah.
Right?
Boy, yeah, it's a great point. I think there's a bigger picture sometimes than that we're not able to see. That God sees a big picture, the beginning and the end, and that what we perceive to be His hand against us, and it's not helped in that there are even people who are who preach a message that blessing on your life is evidence of favor, and if something goes wrong in your life, it's evidence of disobedience or sin. And that's not always the case. I think of the story where the disciples came across a blind man with Jesus, and their immediate thought was, okay, who sinned? Because obviously this man being blind is being punished by God. So, and they even ask, was it him or was it his parents?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, neither. This is so that the Father would be glorified in this moment. And so there was something bigger at work in this man's life than just, did he do right, did he do wrong, and is he being punished by God? There was something bigger that led ultimately to God receiving glory in the miracle that Jesus worked in that moment. And so I think sometimes we just can't see that bigger picture. I think another example that comes to mind is we read the story of Moses, for example. And what a great story that, you know, Moses is this little baby who is put in the basket, and he floats down the river, and, you know, there's this edict issued to kill all of the male children to snuff out Moses' life, but God supernaturally spares his life. He's put in the basket, you know, he's taken in by Pharaoh's daughter, and what's a great story of God's provision, but what we never talk about is how many women lost their sons that day.
Yeah.
And they never knew that God had spared the one child that would be raised up to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel out of the hand of Egypt. They didn't know that. Probably a lot of them went to their grave not knowing that. And yet God was working a bigger picture. They went to their grave wondering, why did my boy have to die? Same thing with Jesus. When Herod issued the decree that babies be killed, and Jesus was spared because God came to Joseph in a dream, but a lot of babies died. I don't think we like that aspect of God. It's not comfortable.
Right.
But I think there's a reality of a bigger picture in an eternal perspective that we don't always see.
Hmm. Disappointment with God is not foreign to the great men and women of faith in the Bible.
Yeah.
You gave an example there, Moses. So many others. Joseph, We could talk about just a couple generations before, right?
Yeah.
Where this is a guy who has huge expectations, and for good reason, because God told him, "Here's what I'm going to do through you."
Yeah.
Right. Here it is, and it doesn't seem to be happening. And that's maybe that what you were talking about of not seeing the beginning from the end, not seeing the whole picture, because it's like being on a road and you think, okay, I need to get to this destination. Here's my exit.
Yeah.
Right? So you're in left lane, you take a while, you get all the way over into the right lane, and the exit's blocked, right?
Yes.
Detour. You have to maneuver all the way back over into the left lane, and you think that was the quickest way there, and you've just been detoured.
Yeah.
You're disappointed, right? Because
yeah.
This is my exit, this was the next road in life for me, and is it possible that God sees there's actually a better exit, or there's one that's, you'll be able to do things there that you wouldn't have been to do otherwise?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think of John the Baptist. I think one of the most, what would be the word, transparent passages of Scripture.
Yeah.
And really, which I think those passages that allow us to see into the disappointment that the heroes of the faith had in God is quite an argument for the authenticity of Scripture. If this was concocted, you would never include stories of the heroes doubting God and questioning God. And yet, we see it throughout. We see David who wants to die. We see Elijah sitting under a tree, praying that he could just die. And, these are the heroes of our faith. But John the Baptist, when he's in prison after rebuking Herod and the whole story of being arrested because of that, because Herod had taken his brother's wife, and he's in prison, about to lose his head over what amounts to a drunken party where Herod's wife's daughter asks for the head of John the Baptist. And he's here in prison, and he calls his disciples to him, and he sends them to Jesus and says, "Would you just ask him one question? Is he really the one?
Yeah.
Or should we wait for someone else?" And man, here's a guy who devoted his whole life to telling people that Jesus was the one. And now he's in this place of disappointment, wondering, is he really the one? Have I wasted my life's work? And so they go to Jesus, and Jesus tells them to go back and tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached to the poor. All characteristics of the Messiah, yes, but all things that John the Baptist already knew. He already knew Jesus was doing those things. It says it in the passage that when John heard in prison what Jesus was doing. And so he already knew all that stuff. And you read that, I read that, and I think, why couldn't Jesus just say, go tell John, yes, he did good. He did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
I am the one, I am the Messiah. He can die in peace knowing he accomplished his purpose. But Jesus doesn't. And then he says what I think is one of the most incredible verses in all the Bible. He says, tell John, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. And I think that is saying, blessed is the one who will still serve a God he doesn't always understand. A God who misses his expectations. Because Jesus came in a totally different way than John came. John was in the desert. He called people to the desert. You get the idea that he wasn't a real social guy. Jesus is saying yes to every party invitation. He's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, and Jesus came in a much different way. He didn't do it the way John thought he would do it, and John became disappointed.
Yeah. Wow. Something that you just said there about why didn't Jesus respond just by saying yes?
Yeah.
That's even interesting there, and that kind of gets to another thing that I wonder about is, if it's true that, and this is the picture that I have of God, that he never allows any experience in our life to go to waste, good, bad, or otherwise.
That's
right?
Good.
So he's going to use every single thing. Does God use disappointment? Meaning, does disappointment hit our lives and it's just a bump and we're past it? Or does God actually, in a sense, redeem disappointment in our life, you know, in some unique way? And maybe, and this would be something interesting to explore, is what is God looking for in us when disappointment hits?
Mm, yep.
Is it possible that he doesn't give us a simple answer, yes, no, take this job, don't do that, don't worry, your child will be okay, your health is going to get better, your finances will restore at some point. He doesn't give us that. He maybe allows us to walk through some of that disappointment.
Yeah.
What for?
Yeah. Boy, it's a great question. Yeah, I think when you're not in the middle of it, it's easy to throw pat answers to.
Yeah.
Like, well, because he's growing you. But when you're in the middle of it, it's like enough growth already. I get it. But you know what? I think you said something really key, and that is whether God brings it or not. And I don't believe that everything that bad that happens to our life is brought on by God. But I do think that God will never waste a disappointment or a pain in our life if we allow him to.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some things in life that God can only work into us in the context of difficulty and challenge and pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Joseph earlier, and I think that's a great picture of, here's a young guy at 17 years old who really gets a dream from God about his destiny. And the next 13 years of his life are pretty miserable, from slavery to prison for something he didn't commit. And yet, when he emerges as a ruler in Egypt, the grace that he shows his brothers may not have even been in his life had God not worked through those 13 years of difficulty. And so I don't think any of us ever asked for it. None of us ever want it. But God will use it to grow some things in us that maybe can't be grown any other way except through difficulty.
For more information on this audio recording or others like it, go to www.brentcunningham.org. All Bible passages read on this recording were from the New International Version, unless otherwise noted.